Welcome back to hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in all week long for the cruisin' Mike Malloy. He's out on a progressive cruise. He and Kathy sailing the Caribbean with some of our friends as well. Hope they're having a great time. Glad you can be here with us. However, I am Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your very friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, if you ask me, now drafted into duty once again to be the media on the corporate mainstream media. That's right, our public airwaves, and I'm delighted to be here. We're going to go momentarily to Vince Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights, but just a couple of quick points here. Well, one, Daryl Issa has been tweeting. He's Congressman Daryl Issa from California out here. He's been tweeting as the new chair of the Oversight Committee in Congress, and a couple of weeks ago, actually about a full month ago now, he put out a tweet, said, "Got any tips on government waste, fraud, or abuse? Here's our secure, anonymous whistleblower portal." And he gave the address for it. "And please share," he said. So I asked him a question in reply. "Are classified documents okay for the secure, anonymous whistleblower portal?" For some reason, he hasn't answered that question, and I've asked it every few days over the past month, hoping to get an answer. I also sent it to his congressional staff via email. Haven't gotten an answer, but I'm working on one. Hopefully we would get one, because, you know, if someone in Congress knows about, or, you know, someone in the armed forces or anywhere else knows about waste, fraud, and abuse going on and can prove it through classified documents, doesn't Daryl Issa want to hear from them? Of course, this might run afoul of his his position on WikiLeaks. You see what happens when you don't have coherent policies, when you have policies that only work for the moment? That's the mess that Daryl Issa is in. And speaking of messes, I got to prepare in advance. There we go. Okay. Speaking of messes that people are in, George W. Bush would seem to be in a bit of a mess. He, you might have seen him last night on the big screen down there in Dallas at the Super Bowl. He was there because he wasn't in Switzerland for some odd reason. He canceled a planned appearance in Switzerland. For some reason that maybe our next guest can help us understand. We're joined now by Vince Warren, the executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. He's a human and civil rights lawyer. He's also a jazz musician. Cool. Hey, Vince, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. All right, so George W. Bush was at the Super Bowl. He didn't go to Switzerland. Why, oh, why did he not go to Switzerland, and why did you ruin his trip for him, Vince?
Well, you know, one of the – you have to ask yourself, would you rather be in Dallas or would you rather be in Geneva, Switzerland? And I think it could go either way depending on what you're into. But I think the reason why he decided not to go to Switzerland as planned, because he was supposed to be speaking at a big fundraiser there, mm-hmm. was because the Center for Constitutional Rights and a number of other human rights groups were waiting for him in Switzerland, where we were prepared to file a criminal charge against him for the torture that he approved from 2001 until leaving office with respect to various detainees in Guantanamo and people in secret CIA black sites. So I think he was not very eager to be confronting those charges. And so he, rather than going to Geneva, he decided just to stay local and to watch the Super Bowl.
Now help us understand how this works. Why would Switzerland bring charges against Bush? This has to do with the UN Convention Against Torture, does it not?
It does. The way that it normally works is the first thing that we have to remember is that torture is one of the worst crimes that any government or individual can do. It is amongst the very high ones, like genocide, that international law recognizes as a crime that people really simply can't duck. And normally what happens is when people commit those types of crimes within the jurisdiction, as George Bush did within the United States, it's up to the local government, which would be the United States government, to do a criminal investigation and then to file charges if those charges are warranted. But we've had three attorney generals under George Bush and one under Barack Obama, and none of them at all have seen fit to even look at the crimes that were committed by George Bush. So having no prosecution here in the United States, international law permits under the Convention Against Torture for foreign prosecutors who have an obligation to investigate torture when a torturer is on their soil, it allows them, if asked, to begin prosecution and investigation, and that's what we were asking the Swiss government to do.
And it doesn't permit them to do so. They're actually, as I understand the UN Convention Against Torture, they're actually required to do so. Are they not, if there's a charge brought?
They are. It's not discretionary the way that here it is in the United States. And there's a good reason for that, because the after World War II, the atrocities in World War II, and even going back into the mid-1930s, the international, the groups got together, the countries got together and said, in order for us to punish people when governments won't punish the perpetrators, that we want to make it a mandatory act for, and it is mandatory in some jurisdictions, but not all of them, to be able to prosecute this. Switzerland has one of those statutes that says it must investigate if it has knowledge that a person is on, a torturer is on their soil, mm-hmm. And it's brought to their attention. So there's really no discretion there for them at all.
Now, and you were speaking of World War II, for those people, for those skeptics who are listening, who feel that somehow waterboarding is not torture. Just to be clear, we actually held members of the Japanese military accountable for waterboarding after World War II. One of my co-bloggers at bradblog.com, Ernest Canning, who will join us later this week, his father was one of those who was waterboarded by the Japanese, and his father thankfully lived to help testify against these people. We brought charges against people for doing exactly what we spent the last 8 to 10 years doing, did we not?
That's exactly what we did. And, you know, folks need to recognize that this is not, while international law doesn't always reach the United States in our daily lives, mm-hmm. that we have to remember that after World War II, that these principles, called universal jurisdiction principles, developed from the Nuremberg principles, and it's the idea that there should be no safe haven, that there can't be any safe haven under the law for people who are torturers. Otherwise, a torturer, you know, a former head of state, could travel to this country, to that country, and stay there and live out the rest of his life in relative peace and quiet. Mm-hmm. And this is really designed to make a world community, to have a joint obligation and commitment to punishing torture for the purpose of eradicating torture, right? This isn't to punish any particular individual. This is to eradicate something that we all think should be eradicated, which is torture.
And just to connect a few more dots here, Vince Warren, we're speaking with Vince Warren, Executive Director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, to connect a few more dots here. The UN Convention Against Torture was signed by that liberal lefty pinko Ronald Reagan, as I recall. And it should also be pointed out for further skeptics that our U.S. Constitution requires that treaties that our government enters into, and you're the attorney, so tell me if I understand this right, Vince, treaties that our government enters into are to be regarded exactly as the law of the land, like any other law that might be passed in Congress.
Our Constitution is the law of the land, and in addition to that, the treaties that are entered into by the heads of state in the United for the United States need to be treated as the supreme law of the land as well. So the United States is a signatory to the Convention Against Torture, just like Switzerland is, and we are to treat that as high a law and as supreme a law as the Constitution itself. Now, the big problem is, in the United States, the political winds blow in different ways. And here, certainly under the Bush administration and currently under the Obama administration, there doesn't seem to be any stomach for complying with our obligations. And so it is necessary, for the time being, for us to explore different countries to be able to do something that the United States isn't doing. And so that's why we, the Center for Constitutional Rights, have also provided information and documents and legal analysis and clients to the prosecutions, the investigations that are currently underway in Spain with respect to a number of people, the people that wrote the Bush torture memos,
yeah,
and other folks. So this is a, this is not a stunt or a game,
mm-hmm,
but what it really is an opportunity for us to take the law seriously and to hold our officials accountable so that we can be sure that people won't be torturing in our name.
Well, and I have some questions for you on that. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're speaking with Vince Warren. I have some questions as far as what is Barack Obama and Eric Holder, what is their culpability here when they decline or refuse to bring the charges that they are actually required to do under the UN Convention Against Torture. We're speaking with Vince Warren. We're going to go to your calls as well, 877-520-1150. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. I see a red door and I want it into glass.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 22 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Speaking with Vince Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Vince wrote today, I believe it was, at Huffington Post about George Bush cutting and running from his torture case in Switzerland. Bush was supposed to go and speak at a charity gala on February 12th in Geneva, Switzerland, and for some reason, today being, by the way, the 9th anniversary of George Bush saying he didn't give a damn about the Geneva Convention when it comes to torturing, for some reason, George Bush suddenly declined and canceled that trip, and Vince Warren writes that he believes it had something to do with the fact that the Center for Constitutional Rights was helping to bring charges, or at least a complaint, in Switzerland about George W. Bush's torture policies under the UN Convention Against Torture. Okay, Vince, I'm trying to nail this down. Has the complaint actually been brought? I believe that there have been reports that it was brought. You said, I think, they can't be brought unless he's actually on the Swiss soil.
No, that's right. I think the reports that have been saying that the complaint have been filed are wrong. Under the Swiss law, it requires the presence of the torturer on Swiss soil in order for that process to move forward. So George Bush not showing up to Switzerland for the canceling of this gala event actually defeats the jurisdiction of the case that we would have filed,
mm-hmm,
which is of course why he didn't go. And but what we've done is we have made public, rather than to let a good opportunity go to waste, so that people will know precisely what the case is against George Bush, we've made public what we call the preliminary Bush torture indictment, which is available on our organizational website, www.ccrjustice.org, and there you can see it's about a 40-page document, including references to 2,500 different documents that detail from the public record the case against George Bush. But the case in Switzerland has not been filed.
Is there an official reason, by the way, why George W. Bush did not go to Switzerland? Has either he or his sponsors in Switzerland given an official reason for the cancellation?
Yeah, the sponsors in Switzerland initially, after knowing about planned protests that were going to be happening there for weeks, said that they felt that they couldn't guarantee the safety of anyone, and so they went ahead and canceled the whole shebang. Now, of course, they knew about this whole thing for weeks, and it wasn't until just before this weekend that George Bush canceled, and I think what was happening was it became clearer that he was going to be facing some legal challenges as well. So there's no doubt in our mind at the Center for Constitutional Rights that he cut and ran because he didn't want to face the music of this torture case.
And I believe that the protesters were telling everybody to bring a shoe to the protest. Did I read that correctly?
I did read that as well, and I think, you know, that certainly would have been a fitting, I guess, if the shoe fits, I guess.
There you go.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I hear you. Well done. All right, we're speaking with Vince Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights, and our number is 877-520-1150 if you want to get in a question. And, Vince, if you're able to hang around after the break, I'd also like to ask you about this Glenn Beck situation, Fox News, and this really appalling attack on Francis Fox Piven,
sure,
this professor who, frankly, I had never heard of before. But let me see if I can get to a quick call here before the do I have time? I better come back around. All right. Hang on. If you're on the phone there, Tim in Detroit, Maria and Quincy, going to try to get to some other folks there. Going to try to get to as many folks as I can. At what point, Vince Warren, does the Barack Obama administration become accountable for not bringing forward the charges that, as I understand, they're required to do under the UN Convention Against Torture that we signed?
They are. Under the UN Convention Against Torture, all signatories, including the United States, have an affirmative obligation. In addition, Article 4 of the Geneva Conventions, the convention that George Bush said didn't exist, also require a country or a government that knows that torture was committed on its soil to do an investigation. So and in addition to that, there is already a statute, a federal law that deals with prosecution of torture offenses in the United States, ironically, that the U.S. put into place after complying with the Convention Against Torture. Oh. So all the places, all of the pieces are there. President Obama wants to look forward. He doesn't want to look back. The problem is prosecutors look back, and that's what they prosecute.
Vince Warren from Center for Constitutional Rights, Brad in for Mike Malloy. Your calls, much more straight ahead. Stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mr. Malloy all week long while they're out on their progressive cruise. Speaking with Vince Warren, the Executive Director of Center for Constitutional Rights. And, of course, you can get more information on the torture charges that need to be brought, investigated against George W. Bush at his website, ccrjustice.org. Well, of course, I got some more questions, but let's get to some of these callers. 877-520-1150. And also, I want to get to this Glenn Beck situation with you in a bit, Vince. But let me get to Tim from Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is this. Regarding the UN prescription against torture, number one, are there any statute of limitations in that prescription? Number two, if there aren't, can any of those states that have signed that the UN Convention Against Torture, I think in 1984, can any of those states pick up the people that have been accused of torture, the state actors, any time in the future?
A great question. Vince?
Yeah, there's no statute of limitations. There's no prohibition with respect to time as to when these things were brought. And, in fact, any of the 147 countries that are signatories to the Convention of Torture can initiate a criminal investigation with respect to these particular allegations.
Does that answer your question, Tim?
I had one more quick question.
Go ahead.
Regarding President Obama, who has chosen not to turn in George Bush and his cohort to the UN, I would assume for charges of torture, or the United States not to do an investigation regarding torture, is Barack Obama also culpable of effectively committing a war crime?
Well, Tim, you know, it not exactly. The U.S. and Barack Obama and Eric Holder have obligations under the Geneva Conventions because the Geneva Conventions applied to the men who were held in Guantanamo and beyond. But those obligations don't automatically make them eligible for war crimes. I think that there has to be some step of either covering things up or trying to affirmatively shield torturers with immunity. That would be factually something that I think would be more along those lines. I do want to say, though, clearly that President Barack Obama told us all that we were to hold him accountable for doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what the right thing is to do. He simply politically does not want to deal with this issue. When he came into office, he was all bipartisan. He was all Abraham Lincoln. I've got both sides in the White House, which is great. But the problem is that it doesn't give him, I don't think he's got the political fortitude at this point to be able to do really what's right and what at least I would have expected of him as a constitutional scholar and someone who upheld the rule of law the way that he said that he did.
Yeah, and really great questions, Tim. Thanks for the calls. I appreciate it, because it seems to me that he's absolutely right as far as the culpability when it comes to what we now know about, you know, that WikiLeaks has published concerning what the Obama administration did in Spain and how they helped discourage a Spanish judge from bringing charges against the Bush Six, the torture attorneys and so forth. Isn't that exactly what you're talking about, Vince Warren? Vince Warren, didn't he in fact get in the way of a prosecution by shielding the Bush Six in this Spanish investigation?
Well, I think I think you can certainly look at it that way, and I don't have a problem looking with it that way. I think what makes it a little bit more difficult to understand, or to at least to come down on one side of that issue or the other, is where the line of diplomacy and where the line of judicial meddling comes in. And I think this seems very close to judicial meddling, i.e., trying to work the Spanish courts to not hear the case that we are involved in Spain because politically it's problematic. But you know, the cables I think were very revealing in terms of the fact that it happened. But I think as hopefully there'll be more information that comes out about precisely what the United States government did with respect to this. And I think at the end of the day, it's still in Spain's ballpark. It's up to the Spanish courts
mm-hmm.
to decide how they're going to be moving this thing forward.
877-520-1150. If you have a question or thought for Vince Warren of the Center for Constitutional Rights on the torture issue, and then we'll hit Glenn Beck in a moment. But let's go to Fred in Concord, New Hampshire, who, according to what this must be a typo on my screen, believes that torture is good. Is that right, Fred?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
You got me all wrong on that one.
Oh, good. Well, then I'm once again, I got to fire Desi, or a call screener. Good. Well, what's on your mind, Fred?
Well, I think, well, first of all, just a quick side note. I had read this book by a psychiatrist called Bush on the Couch, and he did a psychological assessment of Bush. And as a child, Bush was sadistic and would torture animals. So I think it's interesting that he's so callous on this point of torture. He also, as governor, would preside over executions of prisoners. It actually seemed to have some enjoyment on it. He would make a point of going to see the executions. But besides that, isn't there anything that can be done against this guy for starting a war under false pretenses? Because I know torture is bad enough, but to have 4,000 of our troops and almost a million Iraqis dead because of this guy who wants to avenge his daddy, because as a quote, he said, he tried to kill my daddy.
Well, yeah, an interesting question, Fred. Let's get Vince's thoughts on this. Interestingly enough, while torturing people is a crime, starting wars based on lies, is that actually illegal?
Well, Fred, thanks for the question. The issue with wars is not so much whether the heads of state lie to the public of the state in order to go into the war. The issue really is the nature, is whether the war is an aggressive war, meaning is it being fought or was being engaged in without any without respect to self-defense and different things like that. And, you know, the Center for Constitutional Rights over the years, dating back to the first Gulf War in the 90s, had looked into filing lawsuits to enjoin and to stop wars that were being engaged in, particularly the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. Very, very difficult to do. And I think the question really revolves around what the state's self-defense justification is and whether international courts are in a position to second-guess that justification. And generally, international courts are not, and neither are U.S. courts.
Does that answer your question, Fred?
Yes, yes.
Thanks so much.
It's sad, however, that we have to rely on another country to bring this guy to justice. I can't believe the apathy that's in this country.
I hear you, Fred. I think most people don't know about it because the corporate media doesn't talk about it over our public airwaves very often. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Vince, Cosmic Michael in chat has in the bradblog.com chat room tonight. Says, can we extradite Bush to Switzerland? In other words, can they bring charges and require his extradition?
The reverse Assange, I guess, is what they call it.
There you go. That's right.
Thanks for the question. No, we cannot extradite him because you can only extradite people when charges are pending, when the person is being sought for charges. So if, for example, Sweden had filed charges or wanted to investigate charges and he'd left Switzerland, and he had left Switzerland, then the question would be, would the U.S. extradite George Bush to Switzerland if the Swiss government wanted him? But we're just touching on the Julian Assange things for a second, and I think it's really important. Julian Assange, in our view, in my view, is someone that really does need to be thinking very seriously about how the United States is dealing with his case. And the irony is not lost on me that Eric Holder refuses to prosecute a torturer. George Bush, and you can go down the list of many people in that administration, refuses to even think about prosecuting them. But as soon as Julian Assange, you know, release and WikiLeaks release some embarrassing information, you know, he's ready to indict him under the Espionage Act, which he actually can't even do.
Yeah, they're like turning somersaults to try to bend some kind of law to figure out how they can bring charges against a guy who clearly broke no laws.
Exactly, and it simply is not going to happen. If the U.S. follows the law, two things will happen: that George Bush will be currently investigated for the crimes that he committed, and Julian Assange will not be extradited to the United States because he has committed no crime. That's if the U.S. follows the law. If they don't, the opposite happens.
Do you guys intend to stay on this as long as it takes? Because it seems that, you know, we've moved on to other issues, and what we have done is lowered the bar so low when it comes to torture. I mean, we're out there. Barack Obama is actually working with this Omar Suleiman, who was doing our torture for us in Egypt. This is who our administration, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, is now working with to be the the transitional figure out there in Egypt, as if this torture that nobody even denies out there, as far as I know, you know, these 40 folks who were renditioned to Egypt, you know, as if it doesn't matter, as if it didn't exist.
No, I think we are in it for the long run. The Center for Constitutional Rights, we've actually been involved chasing Rumsfeld around the globe since 2004. And the reason why we issued this preliminary Bush indictment was because our intention is, as the continued facts are developed, that we want to continue to develop this indictment. But this is a blueprint for any country, any of the 147 countries, to begin to think about how they can do criminal investigations when George Bush goes to their soil. So we very much need to – this is a long-term fight. You know, international law and the Convention Against Torture is not short attention span theater. It doesn't change with administrations. It doesn't change in midterm elections. It doesn't even necessarily change with the changing of generations. And this is a long-term battle, and we want very very much for our country, the United States, to regain its, or at least to develop its status as a country that not only does not torture, as Barack Obama is saying now, but a country that will never torture. And the only way for that to happen is for the current administration and for the international partners to step up.
Now, did you happen to see what David Frum wrote today about this issue? And I'm trying to find, I have the paperwork here. Here we go. David Frum, who was former speechwriter for George W. Bush and likes to appear as one of the few non-insane Republicans left, asked, will Obama speak out against the Bush arrest threat? He thinks it's outrageous and that Obama needs to step in and do something about this. Did you happen to see his piece on this?
I did. I saw a short synopsis of the piece, and I think a couple of things. I think, one, the problem that I have here is that I think David Frum is playing both sides. On the one hand, he's the quote-unquote reasonable Republican, but he's also using this opportunity to take a swipe at Obama at the expense of accountability, or in exchange for a lack of accountability with George Bush. So Barack Obama does as David Frum suggested, and will speak out against this this case, then essentially Barack Obama is standing for not prosecuting George Bush. But, on the other hand, my view is that what Barack Obama should be doing is the exact opposite. Barack Obama should be saying, listen, international law is what it is, and we will do our part to join the rest of the international community to make sure that this stuff never happens again.
I've invited David Frum to come on the show and explain himself. Maybe he'll be here tomorrow night. Otherwise, well, oh well. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Vince Warren. Just a few more minutes. Glenn Beck stuff straight ahead.
Driving that train, high on cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Good song, Tony. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We are speaking with Vince Warren here for just another minute or two, and then we will go to your calls. Trying to leave the whole next hour open, 877-520-1150, whatever is on your mind. And I will see if we have time. I will try to play this, I thought, pretty extraordinary audio from Rush Limbaugh's show on Friday when Mike Stark of StarkReports.com just pwned Rush Limbaugh. If you don't know what pwn means, well, then you're just you're too old. All right, Vince, give me an idea of where we are on this. I know that, and again, thank you for stepping up. The Center for Constitutional Rights has stepped up to send a letter to Fox News and Roger Ailes after it was clear that Glenn Beck and this outrageous assault on the 78-year-old widow, Professor Francis Fox Piven, calling her an enemy of the Constitution, all manner of things, highlighting her as if she is some dangerous woman when, frankly, with all due respect, most of us have never even heard of her. Death threats came her way. Here's just a few. Maybe they should burst through the front door of this arrogant elitist and slit the hateful cow's throat. We should blow up Piven's office and home. I am all for violence and change. Francis, where do your loved ones live? I mean, some amazing attacks on her. And these were actually on Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze. They were left by commenters, but he did not remove them. They were there for weeks on end. So where is this this letter that you sent to Roger Ailes? You received a reply from Fox News. Where does this leave us at this time, Vince Warren?
Well, we sent the letter, and I think it's important just to note that, at the Center for Constitutional Rights, we are vigorous defenders of the First Amendment.
I know you are, yeah.
But it clearly, the thing that bothers me, particularly bothers me about this, is that Fox's business model seems to be to whip people up into a frenzy so that they think that their country is going to be taken over in imminently by it. You can fill in the blank, whether it's Kenyans or socialists or whatever.
Acorn, don't forget Acorn was taking over.
We, actually, CCR, we filed a lawsuit trying to keep Acorn from being defunded as well, precisely for this reason, because it's an attack on the right. But so what happens is it's Fox's business model to basically whip people up into this frenzy, and then what they do is they step back and they say, well, we didn't have anything to do with it. It's a free country. So we wrote this letter to Roger Ailes, and what Roger Ailes should have done was he should have had a talk with Glenn Beck and said, look, let's think through some strategies. You can say pretty much whatever you want, but we have to think through some strategies to make sure that the people that are listening and watching your show are not going to go buck wild and take this to the next level. This is right after, you know, Gabrielle Giffords was shot. Instead of doing that, we got a letter back from his legal department, which is kind of like if you go to a mechanic with a car problem and you say, let's see if we can fix this, and you get a letter back from the auto mechanic's legal department saying, well, we can't really see anything wrong with what you gave into the car. It's not a way to fix a problem. So we basically got the big brush off, and I think what, you know, what we're thinking about doing is how do we keep this particular – first of all, we're monitoring the website, and we're monitoring what people are saying, and I think also Professor Piven has been very concerned, and she's alerted the authorities with respect to some of the threats that she's been getting. But, you know, the Center for Constitutional Rights feels very strongly that the Fox News model, the Glenn Becks of the world, targeting particularized people or particularized groups on the left, including CCR, we were on his chalkboard, is a model that is asking, literally asking people to get into their cars and drive and start shooting people up. And that's the point that we want to get across to them, and we want to make them do something about it.
And, in fact, people have been shot up or almost shot up. This Byron Williams, who was on his way to do exactly that based on what Glenn Beck had to say. I was struck, Vince Warren, by this letter, and you can read these letters over at the CCRjustice.org website. When you heard back from Fox News, first paragraph of this letter where they said, we note the letter was publicly disseminated yesterday attached to a related press release. Therefore, we doubt this is a sincere effort on your part to stop hostile public speech, but rather an attempt to create ill will for our company. I can't imagine ABC News, NBC, CBS, any legitimate news organization actually responding that way.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it was incredible. Vince Warren, please check him out at ccrjustice.org. Follow them on Twitter at the CCR, or you can follow Vince himself at Twitter, at Vince Warren. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Keep up the good fight. I think we'll be talking in the days ahead.
I hope so. Thanks so much, Brad.
You betcha. All right. Your calls, 877-520-1150, and whatever's on your mind and whatever's on my mind. Straight ahead, Brad Friedman in for Malloy.